Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, and boy, that was really amazing. I've been, gone for about almost a little over a month now, and getting back into the wing of things, and I know you've all have received several of my past shows. I can't believe I've been doing this show for almost 4.5 years now. Time sure does fly. Now, we do all have various experiences. And the reason why I want to get into the issues of experience is and experiences is because they often relate to some of the issues that we face from day to day to day in ourselves in all forms. And I'll get into that. Now, I believe I once said, or maybe it was somebody else said, but whoever said it, what somebody had said, maybe it was me, like I said, there are four reasons why we are here. To experience, that's pretty simple, we're here to experience. To heal, that's pretty simple as well, right? To love, that's pretty straightforward, we're here to love, right? To gain wisdom and understanding, yeah, that's just self-explanatory. But there would be many, you know, who I would say, well, how do we know we even have a reason? I mean, what's the reason? Maybe that's all BS. How would we have a reason for being here? So let's assume there's absolutely no reason why we're here. Let's suppose there's absolutely no reason why we even exist. And let's say there's absolutely no reason why the universe exists. Because you know what? That's correct. There is no reason. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you, there's no why we are here. There's no why the universe is here. Any comment or things that we say about why we are here or what we are, or I mean, excuse me, why we are here or why is there a universe, anything, why patterns, has nothing to do with reality. I mean, look at it. Why do we have two eyes instead of three? Think about it. Why do we have two hands instead of three hands? Now, you'll explain what? Well, because, you know, we have two hands because this situation here evolved this way. But you're telling what? You're not telling why. And everything else is speculation, a hypothesis, and is guess. We can only make hypotheses of possibilities of reason, but then they are just what they are, a guess, an approximation of why. So, if why we are here is absurd to ask even, it is just as absurd to speculate the reason then is not why we are here. But what we are that makes us who we are. So, it goes two ways. Why not and why are actually both absurd to even ask either way. Because they're all based on speculation, yes, and not reality. The fact is, the universe is absolutely perfect in every way. This is actually a given. It's not my speculation. It's just the way it is. If the universe wasn't perfect, you would cease to exist. Your body, the cells, the energy, everything that bounds together, you on the planet, physiologically, your spirit, your soul, the planets revolving, everything is absolutely perfect. And this is from our own perspective of seeing how things are within our limited perspectives in these dimensions. So here it comes to this. It isn't the why and not why we exist, or even what the reasons are, or rather, what are the lessons to be learned? This is really in reality of what the universe is. The universe provides us with an infinite amount of opportunities to heal, love, learn, and experience. Really, really simple. We have gone through, obviously, some what we perceive as very troubling events. economical, tragic, political, wars, death, hunger, maybe. Somebody, a loss in the family, something medical, health. But all this reality and the suffering in reality, these events provide us with what? The very opportunities to what? To experience them. To what? To learn from them. To what? Heal from them. And, of course, love. Learning to love through them. No matter how vile or wicked we may experience the event or events, or even suffer through the various experiences, in the reality of all things, being that the universe is what it is, rather very simple, we have been given the very opportunity to experience and the understanding of it. We have been given the opportunity to experience, and how we perceive it is then our choice. And how we choose to think of it is our choice. And how we appreciate it is our choice. But ultimately, it is what it is. It is simply an experience. And we do indeed have the opportunity to make what we can gain from it, from the understanding of the experience or experiences. Now, there are many, and I do say many, and we've often done it. I mean, there's not one person who hasn't done it, but we shouldn't. We choose sometimes to blame others for our experiences. We'll blame our mom, our dad, the government. We'll blame it's the Illuminati. We'll blame it upon them. It's this. It's the Republicans. No, it's the Democrats. We'll blame it on some parties. We'll call them, whether it's Muslims, Zionists, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus. Blame somebody. We'll always find a way to some. There's always been to blame others, which is a whole issue in itself, which I digress partially on the political circumstances of it. But even individually, what happens when you're blaming? I mean, you're digressing from the reality of what it really is. So many will choose to blame others for their experiences, when in reality, since the universe is collective, all that we experience is collectively produced and both individually and universally experienced in one shape or form, meaning that we all are creating or manifesting in a symbiotic fashion with the universe our experiences, both individually and collectively. So, when you say them did it, no, they did it because it was out of our choice that was caused. The strife in around the world is not because it's a them. Let's say if you just got rid of some people I saw posting on Facebook. Let's get rid of the Illuminati. I mean, hate them, blah, 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 blaming them for our ears. We have the Federal Reserve, blah, 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 blah. It's always them, them, them. So you got rid of them. There would be a new one. And it has to do with the mentality of the way our thoughts, which I went into before about knowing to connect, knowing that we're all separate, and connecting with Earth and the universe. Because once you do that and realize we're all part of the same, then you have the understanding that, them is part of us, so then you're blaming us. Because in fact, we do create and manifest that situation. They are part of us. So it's like if you get rid of one negativity thing, and you still think the same way of separation as them, or they, and what, you'll still always have that same thing reproduce in one form or another. I mean, I remember there's the ideology of one time of communism or micro-communist of having the perfect utopia, as they call it, where everybody works together and nobody owns anything and blah, 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 and all that bullshit, right? Well, this is what happens. If you still think of yourself in certain separate mentality, which often still, which I exist with that illusion. So what happens when you have that micro-communistical or communal type atmosphere, even in the most perfect commune, what happens? There will be a slow merger where there'll be a, let's say, certain people within that community will take advantage of other people, and they start looking for, you know, little perks and things. And this is seen through many communes, whether it be, let's say, like a kibbutz in Israel or a commune in California or Europe or whatever, even in a mosque. In a Buddhist atmosphere with a communal area or Christian where they have, you know, monks, a monastery, any of those will still, because if they don't have that, they have that feeling of being separated, they will feel that. Now, if it's a Buddhist monk and they're feeling the connection that they aren't feeling separated, then they will not have a rise of a certain mentality or individuals for political gain in some form. So that's what I'm referring to. Unless we change that circumstance, we will continue that same thing. And blaming it is just a little kid crying after it burned its hand for touching the hot hot platter trying to steal a cookie. So it is still part of us. So like I said, to blame others for your own experience or our own experiences, when in reality it is, like in the universe, a collective issue. We all experience it collectively, and it's produced collectively, and both also individually as well universally experienced in one shape or form. Now, many will be afforded the opportunity to experience others' manipulation, fraud, deceit, whatever malicious endeavor that was created and produced, and there will be a lesson from it. And this is the new opportunity to learn and gain wisdom and understanding from it. It is a chance to heal even further because of it. And loving the universe and appreciating that very opportunity, no matter how harsh it was, and being very gracious and thankful for because of it. I know that sounds pretty hard, but that's the reality. Some have said, your greatest teacher is your own enemy. Pretty hard to approach it from that perspective, but I would probably say it in this form, that part of your light casts a shadow of the dark, which provides the opportunity for more light. The opportunity of light is the opportunity to experience. If we were all experiencing everything without any trials and tribulations, then what could we possibly ever learn? If we have no challenges, what would we experience to gain? How would we be able to move forward? If we didn't experience the dark, then how would we be able to understand the light? From all experiences, we meet many souls from past lives to current lives with much history, don't we? Now, the history is the karma that we produce from each dharma of our own experiences. And what happens? We heal from pain from them. We will heal from the suffering of them. We will heal from the anger and hurt toward them. And we do heal from the compassion because of them. We do not heal from the love. And I repeat, we do not heal from the love of experiences and through the experiences. We heal from the experience. We do not heal from the love. We heal from the experience. Which gives us the ability to learn to love. We do not heal from the cushion experience, but rather from the experience that have been challenging us. We learn to love again and again and again, or rather, we are even given the opportunity to learn to how to love again and again and again. Unconditional love means unconditional. It is real love, which is based upon no conditions. Yet, we are constantly subjected to its test. Because real love is without conditions. Unconditional love is real love. There are no conditions. Yet we're tested to it. Now, I will not say why, as why does not exist in the reality of the universe. Why is based upon what? As I reiterate, perspective. And perspective is limited to the observer giving his or her perspective, and this is limited by their own relative frequency, thus affecting their very ability to perceive without any askew or illusions or assumptions. We project things. We assume things. And this is where we come in with the word why. It's okay in discussions on basing at your personalities and our own perceptions of things of why. But when we're discussing the reality, when we discuss the reality of concepts of situations within the universe, why does not really exist. It just isn't. There's no such thing. Why does the Earth rotate around the planet? It's not why it does. Because then you're saying why because there's gravitational pull? No, that's a what. There's a gravitational pull toward this planet, toward our planet, and there's a counter to that, by the way. So, and that's based upon our speculation again. Because nobody's actually produce what real gravitational force is based upon theory. We have never yet determined the energy of it. We have determined electromagnetic energy. We have determined, there's heat, there's light, there's, particle wave energy. Gravitational energy is actually a hypothesis based upon our perception of our experiences, our perceiving through our experiments. And even those are limited, as shown within quantum physics, which I won't get into, which is called the wave function, or the collapse of the wave function. So there is no why. It has always been what. So I have to reiterate that. Why did I have that experience? It's not why, it's what. What did you learn from it? It's not why you had it. It exists. So why do you have hair growing out of your head? It's not why, it's what. Oh, the hair growing on your head is created there. That's it. Just grows. What's the reason for it? Well, who knows? Does it keep you warm? We assume it. But why is it only growing on top of your head? And why not a whole lot of it on your back? Well, some people have it on their back, which they didn't. So again, you can't make those assumptions. So again, unconditional love, which is real love, is based upon no conditions. Yet we are constantly, like I said, we subjected to its test. And what is that test? The test is experience. The test is the experience. The test is the opportunity to gain understanding of it. The test is our opportunity to learn to love unconditionally from it. This experience in itself is just that, an experience. It's not why, it's what. It's an experience. But it's also the bridge with many, many folks in it. They all lead to more bridges and many more forks. instead of folks, forks. Meaning what I was reiterating is like you have an experience. And then having out of that experience leads to options and choices, which are the forks, which create more bridges and more experiences to endeavor. And these forks lead to more, even more opportunities to learn to heal and love and experience. Let me say, what if, for example, you had a friend, or at least you thought you had a friend, and it was for a friend for years, and it turned out he or she was extremely deceitful and fraudulent, who was very malicious in its his or her agenda in mind. But you didn't know it, maybe naively or too much trusting of it, until it was all over. And basically, you were fucked up, basically fucked over. I'm sure there's me and often a lot of people who've had experienced that. But what is this? What was this experience? What did the experience give you? It's not why you had it. What did it give you? You would probably, out of it, reconsider what your boundaries of trust are. Well, I'm never going to trust them again. I'm not trusting anybody. That would be a possibility, and that's also your choice. Perhaps you're going to reconsider who those you're going to be around that you're going to trust. Perhaps even wonder about your own ability to warn yourself of the peril, trusting yourself. You'll perhaps question yourself of your own endeavors. Who can you really trust? Maybe even you'll question those who you thought were there for you, who turned out weren't there for you. And those that the ones that you there were, and also the ones that were there for you. Well, you have a new understanding of them out of that experience. You have a new understanding of yourself. You have a new understanding experience. And how do you utilize that experience depends on your perception, of course, because out of your perception you make choices. But it giving you the opportunity to gain wisdom. And sometimes you may have misguided understandings based upon your askew of perspective. You may have developed bigger, harder walls and harsh trusting anybody. And that might be the correct way. It might not. Who's to judge? You certainly will learn to give yourself an understanding of trusting yourself. Because each in ourselves, who else can you trust? And then there'll be the also obvious is, you know, the old saying when everything goes berserk and you lose everything. And then, you know, the old saying when everybody has a whole bunch of money, you have a whole bunch of friends. And when all the money is gone, then you find out who your real friends are. It's the same thing in circumstances. When the chips are down, when things are hurt, you'll often find out who there's your fair weather friends, as they call them, who just there to when things are good, and those aren't real friends. And those are the real friends that got your back. Those are actually our friends. In fact, those are your only friends. The other ones are just happen to be acquaintances. And this is how you get to learn your understanding of that too. So some have said, you know, when the shit hits the fan, and only your real friends will be there, like I just said. And one given friend, of course, will always be there no matter what. When anything goes bad, there's actually two friends of yours. This is an absolute fact. That minimum, you'll have two friends. This is a given fact in the universe. One is yourself. You're still going to be there for yourself. And the other is the universe. They are both there no matter what the circumstance. Think about it. All the other souls that come into your being when the shit hits the fan are just added. friends. You always have, I said, a minimum of two. You, yourself, and the universe. Now, even in the most dire circumstances, like these, you perhaps even create some walls of those around you. You know, if you had an experience with, you did loss of trust, then you make, well, I'm never trusting anybody. It's like the woman, after she has a bad experience of being sound misogynistic here. It could be also a guy, too. That guy cheated on me, and da-da-da-da, never trusting that guy again. You know, you're that famous old quote. So they create a wall. Although I got burned, I don't know if hell I'll ever be a partner again with anybody. Or, wow, I need to be by myself after all this stuff. And they withdraw for a bit. And all these are cannot be judged. Because per each person is their circumstances of how they're dealing with that experience. And it's out of their choice of that experience, but manifests out of that, their learning experience, and how they need to deal with it. Each will learn it on their own and from that experience. But there is one thing that is a common denominator. When you reach a point of a situation where it's dire, very harsh, or whatever non-benevolent experience. I'm not talking happy, go joy, la 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 experience that give us indeed challenges. What is the main subject, though, of those situations? And what out of those circumstances that you, when you put those walls up, you react toward them? It is the essence of your own self-worth, your self-worth, trying to refocus with an attempt to learn from the experience without being diverted or perhaps knocked off your own grounded spectrum, meaning being centered. You know, when people are scattered, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, the reason why you got to have that, oh, I use the Y again. But the common denominator of the experience of being off center is to give you the chance and opportunity to refocus. Think about any experience that you've had. And what is the common denominator that you lose focus? You feel scattered. You don't know what to do. No matter what, whatever suffering, it's a challenge. The first thing it's done is to knock you off-centered. So when you're really going to put your walls, set up your walls for yourself, and I don't want to see this person, da, 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 and you need your space and time, might be said, it is what it is. It's really your higher self is trying to recenter yourself out of this experience, and you're learning to recenter yourself. So even the most harshest experience, if you're already focused, you'll move forward them faster because you've already learned to develop the refocus. And you may be challenged in the future of more consequences, but it is what it is, the recentering of yourself. We learn and develop our true sense of ourselves in the universe by this learning experience, which ultimately will dissolve any and all stress, by the way. You know, you think about which, when you're stressed, it's because you're out of center, you're out of focus, you're frustrated, you don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. You're at work, you're under pressure, I don't know my finances, I'm going to be able to pay that bill. You're out of focus, you're out of center. The stress is the opposite of being centered. If you learn to become more focused, you have less stress. The point being is, like when you meditate, what is the point of meditation? It's not to go kumbaya, blah, 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 blah. Point of meditation, no matter the common denominator, is learn to focus. The ultimate idea, understanding, I remember when I first started studying Kabbalah a long time ago, people trying to figure out what, when you read Zohar and some of the books of light, they're so pretty complex in their own stuff, the way they come. And so I remember a holy teacher once said to me, I asked, what is really Kabbalah? And Kabbalah is, and I always reiterate this, Kabbalah is 6 plus 7 divided by 13 equals 4 divided by 15. And people go, huh? And that's it. When you learn to study Kabbalah in reality, like many things in the esoterics, it is just teaching you, learning the focus, getting that place of non-thought. Being in that place of non-thought is getting yourself the ultimate pinnacle of being centered. That is the opposite of being stressed. When you feel stressed, what's the first thing somebody tell you? You've got to get rid of those scattered thoughts, the scattered things around you. Because that's actually energy. I'm sort of fun talking this because I'm actually working on a new book. It's a nonfiction, by the way. That gets into these issues. But it, like I said, it is the opposite. So the point of being under duress is to learn to focus. We learn to develop our true sense of ourselves and the universe through this learning experience. We'll ultimately dissolve any and all stress if we learn to do it right. It gives us that opportunity. And we may have that lesson over and that experience over and over. Because nobody walks on water. Nobody. Not even the people they say that walked on water. Now, stress happens when you are not focused, right? That's when it happens. When you're not focused, you're out of center. And thus, how do you refocus? You remove the distractions in whatever form, no matter how distracting the flies are flying about you. You learn again and again through lessons of experience to refocus and recenter yourself. Now, here's our fact, and it's just for your information. Stress is the only cause of disease. And this is, by the way, a medical fact. And some of you go, what? No, there's bacteria, there's this, that. No, it is a fact. This is a medical fact. Stress causes disease. You have multiple bacteria around your body, thousands upon thousands. Why do you think then all your body is constantly fighting these things off, right? And what happens in this, the body, when they, these thousands of bacteria in your body and you're under stress, is the point of where they cannot fight these things back because you're under stress. You heard where you're under stress and then all of a sudden you get that cold from work. You work too hard and all of a sudden you get sick. What produced it? It was produced out of the stress. Working too hard. I was stressful and I got sick. Cancer is literally out of, well, stress. Because it's your body stressing because it's not communicating. Your DNA is a fact. It is not the blueprint of your body to reflect actually producing things. It is the blueprint of a whole set of plans that when certain things happen, your mind, your consciousness, tells the body, it's like a communication device, hey, we need these set of plans because this is what's happening. So the body grabs the DNA part and goes, okay, we'll start making that, which is the RNA. And I don't want to reiterate this, but that's actually how it's a fact. And actually, I've never seen a tape of Dr. Lipton giving a very detailed information about that. And I suggest any of you go on YouTube, hit Lipton's talk about that. If not, you can always email me or send a message. I'm sure you'll find it, what I'm talking about. And I don't want to go off tangent, but that is the cause of disease, stress. It's the point of where the development of symptoms of the disease is when we see the reaction of that stress. Think about it. If you never had any stress in your body, how could you ever get sick? Now, someone said, what about if you don't eat right and blah, blah, blah? Well, you know what? That can prove stress in itself too, can it? If you're not eating right and you're lacking food or have too much food in you, that can produce stress too. Stress on the body. Still stress. Anyway, but nonetheless, I didn't want to get off tangent on that. But nonetheless, your new understanding of the reality of the experience will be your reaction, which is another experience leading to another reaction, which is leading to another experience, which leads us to another action, which will lead to an experience, and so on. All experiences lead to another and another and so forth. And for every action, there is a reaction. Hence, for every experience, there is another experience. So for every action, this is being the experience. There is a reaction, another experience. These, what they do is provide us the opportunity to learn, heal, love again and again, to experience through these lessons to be learned. Again, based upon our own perspectives, perceived notions, and these, again, are limited. We approach the experience of the experience with what we believe what happened and what we can gain from it. We at least, or we hope to, gain from it. If someone fucked you over, this can lead to many opportunities. One of which is, like I said, trusting yourself. Because you are the only one you must ultimately trust. If you took a gamble, then it was, what was it? A chance to make a different opportunity to experience, which you may have to adjust yourself when that assumed opportunity arises again. You've learned perhaps not to jump in with both feet. Perhaps be more cautious. Perhaps there are more variables that you didn't look at. Then you can learn how to heal from it. Perhaps your own frustration of allowing it to happen. Heal yourself from it, letting go of it, while learning from it. Make it your teacher rather than the scarring tissue. Perhaps even learning to love yourself by overcoming the experience. And learning to endure through it and the opportunities that have been given to you. That being gaining the wisdom and understanding of it. That being the opportunity to heal from it. That being the opportunity to love and trust yourself and loving you unconditionally because of it. Experience, lessons learned. These are what we have undertaken. There's no why, just what. I know we have done it, said it, but really, should have, could have, would have, what if? We've all said those words somewhere down the line in our lifetime. But they're really ridiculous if you think. I mean, what if I could have done that? What if I, you know, we even make movies about if I was back in the past or was a little bit younger. We speculate. I think sometimes we even, you know, take that little trip down memory lane. What if I was young during back in my youth? What was it like? And sometimes I would have done things differently. But the experiences that we've gone through get to us where we are now. And we should really be thankful because that's who you are. Not in just this life, but all the lifetimes. You are for who you are because of all your experiences. That's the only thing you take with you, by the way, when, you know, they put you away, whether you're, you know, when you ultimately leave your embodiment called the body, and it's called death. And they stick you in the hole, or if somebody wants to be cremated, or whatever method of, you know, circumstance, you're still, all you take with you, you don't take your Mercedes, you don't take your house, you don't take all your gold, your diamonds. The only thing you take with you is your experiences. And that's the most precious thing. So now, you also have to really look at, like, again, when you say should've, could've, we'd've, what'd've, which are pretty ridiculous, you have to look at the thought patterns that we have created by using these kinds of words. Do you drive a car by looking in the rearview mirror? What would happen if you drove around just driving and you're just sitting there focusing, looking at the rearview mirror? What would happen? Boom, crash, right? So, can't live in the past. In the perspective of the linear time, everything moves forward without any qualms about what you have. As they, whoever they are, say life moves on, as they say. I don't know who they are that said that, but it's they. So funny, as they said. I mean, everybody goes, who said that? Anyway, life does move on. You cannot live in the past. You can only gaze upon it to learn from it. So you're not will repeat it, as I said, you will learn from it. But by dwelling with an infatuation upon it, you're like, you're getting, oh my God, look at that. You just think and focus on things of your past, things that you've done upon it. So, you know, that's all you think about 24/7. You've created those thought patterns. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to manifest that reality all over again. It's being the crab that never moves forward. Life still moves forward. And you'll often meet individuals who, because they still live in the past, you'll meet 10 years from them, they're still the same way. They've never grown because they still think and live in the past. They've never grown from it. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, some people I met, I haven't seen in 13 years, and I'm like in shock that they're the same way. They haven't moved one inch. In fact, they're actually backwards, because why? They're so encumbered. In fact, they live on the thing of blaming others. They blame everybody else for their ill wills when it's they themselves out of their own choices that cause these circumstances they're in. And some of those are maybe because they need to learn from it and they haven't learned. Some of them, just like I said, there's no real judgment, it's just what they are. But they, people who dwell on their past often relive it over and over. You know, they repeat it. You'll perhaps notice this, like, say, in a constant repeat of repetition, and they would, you know, they'll repeat the same things over and over that they just did. And here I did say why, because it's not just why, it's what. And this, but because they have created by their own thought and manifestation, the repetition, because they haven't learned, so the universe just goes, okay, you haven't learned, I'm going to give you another chance for another opportunity to learn again and again. Or move forward. If they still don't learn, then they will be continually like a hamster on a wheel, living life on a merry-go-round, over and over and over. And this isn't just limited, by the way, to the individual. It is also well-founded in society. In societies. Look in the Middle East. Same shit over and over again. Arabs, Jews, Christian, Muslims, Shiites, Sunnis. You have the same stuff in the U.S. Conservative, liberals. Same stuff. In Europe, the same stuff. Asia, the same stuff. Africa, same stuff. It hasn't moved. I can give a sample after sample where living in the past has been just a repetition of the same, because they are so encumbered by it. They forget they haven't been able to learn from it. So we go again, as they say, we repeat it again, repeat history over and over again, because what we haven't learned from. It's okay to look at history, but not to be, to learn from it, not to relive it and be infatuated with it. I love looking at history and reading about history only because it's interesting to see what people went through back then, and then you realize we're still doing the same thing. And because of that, how can we move from that? Which leads to the same common denominator. We have to change the way we think. We have the same lame, illogical thought patterns that we perceive that we're all separated. Now, I know it can be hard at times to move on, but in the reality of times, time does heal. Time does allow new learning experiences to unfold. In I Ching, it says that there is a Qian, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, which is called the Heavenly Gua, which is the Yang, the initiative. And there's the Kun Kun, which is the Earthly Ga, which is the Yin, which is the receptive energy. We live on Earth, being the receptive energy, the Yin. Thus, we must adjust to the initiative of the energy, the Yang. Think about it. We receive experiences from the universe, and how, which is like the Yang, and the Yin is our reaction toward them. For a reaction, there's a reaction. So how is our reaction? So we react the Yin, and the Yang, we get a new experience. See, and it's not duality, it's symbiotic, because there's no duality in the universe. It's everything symbiotic. Think of it, we're like, think about what we are. We're made basically, if you think of yourself, you're basically all water, physiologically. What does water do? It adapts to its surroundings, its condition, adjusts to itself. What is it thrown to? This is how we need to learn to live on this physical planet and on Earth as our souls in this physical form. We need to act like water. Water connects with other water. Think about it. We need to adapt to our where we are. So think about it. Water, we're mainly mostly water. And water just simply adapts to the surrounding conditions and adjusts itself to what is thrown at it, whether it is by force or by the environment. Even if the force is subtle or turbulent, water is what? Receptive. This too is what we are. We are water. We must learn to adapt and be receptive. We must apply the initiative, but the universe will always cause the reaction of the initiative. And we being the new reaction, thus the receptive, the respondent. We respond to it. And how we respond to it, we will receive another initiative. So with every experience, we are the respondent. And as a respondent, we have to learn and understand that these are just the opportunities to learn, to heal, to love. And by doing these, and no matter what form we are doing, we're simply doing what? We are simply experiencing. No whys, just what. And that's pretty simple. So again, all we have to go through, all that we have gone through, all that we have seen, experienced through, some of what we will perceive as the most troubling events in our lifetimes, in our own perspective, in our own minds. But in reality, these events provide us the very opportunities to what? To heal, to learn, and to love, and most of all, to experience. And experiences is all there are. And experiences are simply the opportunities to learn, to heal, and love. So as the late, great Jimi Hendrix had once sang, are you experienced? And so with that, experience filled with love and joy, or at least try to, no matter what comes your way, trying to utilize experience to focus, take away those scattered thoughts, learn at what the situation, what you can learn from it. It's not the why you're having, it's the what you can learn from it. It's not why you are having this experience, but again, what you are going to learn from it. It's not why you are here in this body, but what you will do while you're in this body. What will you learn from it? What will you learn to experience within this body? Will you learn to heal yourself? Will you learn to love yourself? This is all that it is. Every millisecond, every minute that you breathe that you're in this body is an opportunity to experience. Even if the experience that you think you're not experiencing anything, you think you're sleeping, that in itself is an experience. And you're meditating, experiencing. If you choose to just work 9 to 5, that in itself is an experience. If you choose not to have that work 9 to 5, that in itself is another opportunity for you to experience. And we all ultimately have chosen our experiences, whether we like to believe it or not. That is the reality. There are no victims, only volunteers. All circumstances happen within the universe are not by chance. It's not chance that the Earth rotates around the Earth, the Sun, excuse me, and the Moon rotates around the Earth. It's not by chance that your cells are made of atoms, and the atoms are made of protons, neutrons, and electrons that spin around and around. It's not by chance. That electromagnetic energy from these atoms hold together, and that's stronger than, let's say, a hypothetical thing called gravity. Because if you didn't, your body would sort of blob on the ground, right? It's not by chance. And just as your own experiences are not by chance, they're out of choice. Nothing is by chance. Life isn't throwing dice in whatever the chant comes out of it. Those are choices. Ultimately, co-created between you and the universe. That's why we use the word co, and a lot of people have said co, because it's both initiative and receptive. That's how we co-create. It's our reaction and our learning experiences from these. So with that, I wish everyone a very blessed experience. God bless you all, and thank you for listening. And I know it's been about, God, almost 4 or 5 weeks since I've done my show. And I've been doing this for, like I said, since I looked it up, I couldn't believe, from February 2007. So with that, I want to thank you again for listening to my show, and have a great and glorious weekend. God bless you. Thank you.